Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
Today's culture collides with the kingdom of God, but the Lamb has been provided. In today's culture, we are so inundated with information through the media, through computers, through text messaging. You know, we're getting messages all the time. But there's one message that I believe we're short on, and that's the message that the Lamb has been provided. And so if you came here today, you're going to collide with the Lamb. It is so important to understand what I'm going to share with you today. You can't get this and it not change your life, because when I got it, it just completely changed my life. I'm going to ask you to go to Exodus chapter 29, and we're going to look at verse 38. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar: two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Okay, so what's he saying there? He's saying that they had to offer a lamb for their sins. Day by day, continually, they had to sacrifice a lamb and offer it up for their sins. He says, one lamb you shall offer in the morning, okay? For thousands of years, they offered lambs for their sins. For thousands of years. The lamb that was offered at twilight, it covered the sins that you committed during the day. And the lamb that was offered in the morning covered the sins after the sun went down the day before. So every day you had to offer a lamb to cover your sins. This is how you dealt with sin. Now, some of us in our past lives, we'd be offering up a lot of lambs. But you know, this is a prophetic picture of really what was to come. When I first became a believer, I went to a church, and you know, they would give you this impression that if you sinned and you didn't get forgiveness for your sin, you would, you know, risk going to hell. And I remember, I used to work for Miles Laboratories, and I would be in the lab running tests and running samples and doing analytical work. And I would be in there, oh, forgive me of this. You know, I'd think something negative about my supervisor. Oh, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And then I'd think something negative about somebody in my family. Oh, forgive me for that. Or I'd say something wrong. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. And I was always had this, forgive me of my sin. It's kind of, I had this burden. It was like, this is supposed to be a happy life? Come on, can you relate, anybody? I mean, constantly. I was constantly walking around, forgive me. Oh, I'd be driving in the car. Forgive me, Lord. Because I thought if I hadn't got that sin forgiven, you know, I was risking my eternal salvation. There's still churches that communicate that. But now listen, is your entry into heaven conditioned upon and dependent upon your memory? If it is, some of us are going to be in trouble because we can't even remember what we did yesterday. Am I right about that? I remember praying for sins. And I remember saying, and Lord, forgive me of my sins that I can't remember that I committed. And then I remember I remember being in prayer groups, really seriously seeking the Lord. And there would be like an elder or a deacon. And they'd be in the prayer meeting. They'd say, oh, Father, forgive us of our sins of omission and our sins of commission. Have you heard those words? Omission and commission? What that is that's, omission is sins you didn't mean to commit, and commissions are sins you meant to commit. So in other words, what he was doing, he was making sure all the bases were covered. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that all the bases have been covered, and it's not on your memory, and it's not on what you remember, it's on Jesus. And Jesus has covered all the bases. All the bases. The lamb has been provided. Number one, go with me to Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to look at verse 7 and verse 8. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" You see, God told Abraham to take his son, Isaac, and sacrifice him on the altar. He was testing Abraham to see if he was going to be obedient. Abraham is really, if you do the history and study, is our spiritual father, Abraham. Talks about in Galatians chapter 3. But now look, and Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide." Those words right there are something we all need to hear. God will provide. Say that with me. God will provide. If you are struggling in your relationships, God will provide. If you are struggling emotionally, God will provide. If you are struggling financially, God will provide. If you're struggling spiritually, God will provide. If you're struggling physically, God will provide. Say it with me again. God will provide. Now, Abraham told him God will provide the lamb, but now look, it wasn't on that day. See, there needed to be a sacrifice on that day. God provided a ram in the thicket, and a ram, a mature ram, and his horns got stuck in the thicket, and that became the sacrifice. Now, think about this. When Abraham said God will provide the lamb, that was a prophetic picture of Jesus. 2,000 years before, Jesus was on the cross, because Jesus is the lamb. Now watch this. In John 1:29, remember, Abraham is our spiritual father. God is our heavenly father. Now think about this. In John 1:29, it says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Speaking of Jesus. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked up the hill of Calvary and God raised a spear and sacrificed his only son. Before that, Abraham walked up the hill with Isaac and didn't sacrifice his son, because it was a prophetic picture of what was to come. Abraham is our spiritual father. God is our heavenly father. And he sacrificed Jesus on the cross for our sin. Past, present, and future. Now, remember when Adam and Eve sinned? What'd they do? They hid themselves because they were ashamed. I wonder if some of you even came in here today and this is a church service. You know, I come once a year and maybe I shouldn't be here because you didn't feel worthy. Or you know, church is for holy people. Church is for, you know, religious folks. But you see, that's not true. The idea that the lamb has been provided means you don't have to hide anything anymore. You don't have to hide nothing. Jesus, when you follow Jesus, you're walking in the light. You don't have to hide anything anymore. But I think some folks come to church hiding things or thinking they have to hide something because they did something wrong that week, when really all they got to do is have a talk with the Lord and it's good to go. You don't have to hide anything because the lamb has been provided. Number two, the lamb that was provided was without blemish, without blemish. Go with me to Exodus chapter 12 and we're going to look at verse 5. "Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you may take it from the sheep or from the goat. Your lamb shall be without blemish." The word "without blemish" in the Hebrew language is two words: no defect, no fault, no spot, 100% pure. So that lamb had to be 100% pure. No fault, no defect, no blemish, no spot. For that lamb to meet the sacrifice, the needs for the sin. Am I making sense? Now, 1 Peter over in the New Testament, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. but the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see that? In other words, he's talking about Jesus, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Blemish is something that comes from within. Spot is like you get a spot on your shirt. It's an outward. So this sacrifice had to be cleansed of all spots and all blemishes, all on the inside as well. Without blemish, without defect. Now, that word blemish means the same thing in the Greek language. Without defect, without fault, 100% pure. That's what Jesus was. Jesus was without fault. Now watch this. Because he paid the price. Not because we have straightened up our act and we don't sin as much as we used to. Now watch this. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5 real quick in verse 27. That he, meaning Jesus, might present her, that's us, the church, her to himself, a glorious church, not having what? Spot or what? Wrinkle or any such thing, but that she, meaning the church, should be holy and without what? Blemish. Without blemish. Now think about this. Without blemish, without spot. I've heard preachers say, Jesus is coming back for a holy church. Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish. We need to straighten up our act. If he's not going to come back till we're more holy. We're more without spot and without... I'm here to tell you, if his coming back hinges on our fact of being more holy or without blemish or without spot, he's never coming back. He's coming back because he was out without blemish and he was without spot and he cleansed the church. He prepared the bride for the return, for his return. Well, you say, well, I don't sin as much as I used to. Well, congratulations. That's a good thing. And I don't do a lot of, that's all good. But that's not why he's coming back. Because you're living a more righteous life. I believe in a righteous life. Your righteousness hinges on what Jesus did. His righteousness, not yours. Not, you're not righteous because you live righteous. You're righteous because Jesus gave you the gift of righteousness. And that gave you the freedom to live the life that he called and created you for. Because you've dealt with the Lamb. That's the beginning. All right. Now, number three. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 22, verse 21. And whoever offers a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow or a free will offering from the cattle or the sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. That word defect, no defect, without blemish. That's what it means. It means perfect. So it has to be perfect. To be accepted, it has to be perfect. Let me ask you, are you perfect? How many of y'all are perfect? No, you don't have to raise your hand. But that's what it takes to be accepted. We are celebrating Passover. There's only one who's perfect. And Jesus was the one. He was without blemish, without spot, without wrinkle, without fault. Now watch this. The good news is he is the one who's perfect. We are celebrating the Passover. That's what this is today. This is an Easter celebration. It's Passover. What was Passover? Passover was they would put blood over their doors. And when the death angel came over and saw that the blood was over the door, in other words, the people were able to live and go on with God. But if the blood wasn't on the door, it meant death was going to knock at their door. And death means separation from God. They were going to be separated from God because they didn't understand the Lamb. They had to believe in the Lamb by putting the blood over the door. Let me put it in kind of today's... Men would go to meetings with Moses, and the women would stay home. And the men would go to meetings, and kind of like we have a lead team meeting, and we have meetings. And so the men would go to the meetings, and they'd have to come back and explain to their wives what went on in the meetings. And so, you know, can't you see it? Well, what happened? What's Pastor Moses up to now? Well, he wants us to do something. Well, now what's he want us to do? Well, he wants us to take a lamb and sacrifice a lamb and put the blood over your door, our door. He wants to do what? We sacrificed 18 lambs already this week. I'm tired of looking at all that. Now we got to do another one, and you want me to put it over our door? We're having company tomorrow. Are you getting this? But they did it. My point is, they had to believe that the lamb provided what they needed. They had to believe in the lamb. They had to believe in the blood of the lamb. Every man that carried his lamb to Jerusalem to sacrifice his lamb. Now, he was going to take it to the rabbi and the priest. Now, think about this. What do you think was on the men's mind when, because the men did it. They're the ones who took the lambs. What do you think was on their mind? Well, I hope the rabbi or the priest doesn't ask me about my synagogue attendance or my church attendance. Or I hope he doesn't ask me about my Bible reading, my reading the Torah. Or I hope he doesn't ask me if I, you know, still do some of the things I used to do. You know what was on his mind as he was taking that lamb? You know what was every thought? You know what consumed his thoughts? Wasn't on himself. It was on his lamb. To see if his lamb was going to be accepted. Every step he took, he wondered if his lamb would be accepted. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, it says, "The whole world examined our lamb, Jesus. And Pilate said, I find no," the ruler of the world at that time said, "I find no fault in him," our lamb, pure, 100% pure. You know what? The man wasn't examined. The lamb was examined. I said, did you get that? The man wasn't examined. The lamb was examined. That's good news. Because we can't do it, can we? But if our lamb is accepted, that means we're accepted. Man, I tell you what, that is good news. I remember reading a story about a woman, and I believe it was back in the 50s. Her name was Velma Barnhart, and she had committed a heinous crime. She had killed her mother and attempted to kill three of her kids and killed two of them, and the third one lived. And she was in prison, and they were going to execute her. Well, there was a ministry that went in this prison, much like the prison ministry that I'm involved in, went into this prison and would minister to the inmates in this Florida prison. And they were going to execute her. And on the day of the execution, this woman that had been in the prison and ministering to these women and to Velma sat down with her right before she was going in to be executed. And this gal, Velma Barnhart, said, "You know, I don't think I'm gonna be with Jesus. Because I'm just not good enough and all I've done wrong. I just don't think I'm going to see the Lord." And this woman that had been in ministering to the inmates there was sitting with her, and she said, she looked her in the eye, she says, "Well, Velma, you've been to the beach before, haven't you?" She says, "Oh, yes." She says, "Well, have you seen the little holes in the sand where the crabs make the little holes in the sand?" She says, "Yeah, I've seen that." She says, "Well, Velma, have you seen where the children will dig out holes and build castles in the sand?" She says, "Yeah, I've seen that too." She says, "Well, Velma, have you seen where those crane birds, they dig those long trenches in the sand along the beach?" She says, "Yeah, I remember seeing those as well." She goes, "Well, you've seen the little holes, and you've seen the medium-sized holes, and you've seen the large holes in the sand." She says, "Yes, I've seen them." She says, "Well, what happens when the tide comes in?" Velma looked at her and said, it makes them all the same. And the woman said to her, "That's what the blood of Jesus does. It makes it all the same." Velma looked at her and said, with a smile on her face, "I know I'm going to be with Jesus. I know I'm going to be with Jesus." You see, folks, because the blood of the Lamb made it possible. Today, we are going to celebrate this Passover, this Easter. This is an Easter celebration. And we are going to give some of you an opportunity to believe on the Lamb for the first time, that the Lamb has been provided. Some of you have been living a life that you're just tired. you know that something has to change. Some of you are in relationships that you just are real concerned about. Some of you are in financial struggles. But I'm here to tell you, the Lamb has been provided. God will provide. God will provide. I'm going to ask right now that you bow your heads with me right now. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for everyone that is here. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing and all that you've done. We thank you for the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world. Father, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for your presence. Father, if there's anyone here, you said the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. As every head is bowed, you are searching the hearts of your people. Father, if there's anyone here that desires to meet the Lamb, to get the understanding of the blood of the Lamb, that the Lamb has been provided, I'm going to ask that they stand in their seat right now. Right now. And I'm going to ask for all the prayer counselors to stand up as well. We're going to give you plenty of time. And I'm going to ask if you're tired of the way things have been going, you're wore out, I'm going to ask that you come forward today. As the prayer counselors come forward, and any of you that want to see a change in your life, God wants to show you something special about this Lamb. You come. As the Holy Spirit leads you, you come. Every head is bowed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me here on earth, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. Every time Jesus did a miracle, performed a miracle, every time, it was publicly. So that's why we ask that you make a stand and you come forward. It's all about change. And this Lamb will change your life when you understand it. We're going to give you plenty of time. Don't be ashamed. You come as the Holy Spirit leads you. Maybe you're here and you feel like you're not connecting with God. Your relationship with God is not where you'd like it to be. You come. Yes, you come. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see so clearly. Hallelujah, grace like rain falls.
You come, we're gonna give you time.
On me.
Hallelujah, we got people up here that will pray with you, people that will help you today. Don't put it off. There's a reason you're here today. There's a reason you're here today. You come.
When we,
this is a moment we're not going to hurry.
Been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've known this days to sing your praise than when we first begun. Hallelujah, grace like rain falls down on me. Hallelujah, all my stains, they're washed away there was a way.
I am going to say a prayer. And I'm going to ask those of you that have come for the first time and you want to understand this, that the Lamb has been provided. You want to understand this idea of salvation. I want you to pray this prayer with me. We got people here to help. We got materials we want to give you. Right now, just bow your head with me right now at the altar here. Just say, Father God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Thank you for providing the Lamb. Thank you for all that you've done for me, Father. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross to save me from my sins. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you were buried and that you rose again on the third day, that I would have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done for me. Now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life and the Lord of all I do and say. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Thank you for providing the Lamb. The 100% pure, no fault, no defect. Thank you, Jesus, that I don't have to bear that all, that you bore it for me. In Jesus' name, amen. The death angel is passing over. I now have life in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right. All right. Now, Jesus said something on the cross. He said, "It is finished." And the Greek word for that is tetelestai. And that meant paid in full. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, He paid in full for all the sins of the world. All we have to do is believe it. And the word believe in the New Testament means to cling to, rely on, totally rely on. Totally rely on. That's what the word believe means. And so when you understand this, you're going to be totally dependent on, relying upon Him. For God so loved the world that whoever believes on Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. You see that? It's what we believe. It's what we believe. So let's leave today and let's discover this Lamb. We don't have to worry about our sin anymore because the sin issue has been dealt with. Get a hold of that. That doesn't mean we have a license to sin. That doesn't mean we live a sloppy life. But that means we're free to live the life that God created us for.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.